This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Brock and Salk, 710 ESPN, Seattle.
Idiot. Idiot.
Which did you prefer? Did you prefer Carrie or did you prefer the final countdown?
Oh, the latter, whatever that was. So the
that was Carrie.
Yeah, for sure that. No question about it.
My favorite thing, man. I was just telling Lydia.
And it's coming back, dude. I'm reading the text toy. Power Ballads, a band is going to make Power Ballads.
I think so.
And they're coming back. In fact, if I was a music manager, that's what I would be pursuing. No more of these boy bands. As much as I love Imagine Dragons, no more of that stuff either. Give me a band that puts together a compilation of the 10 best power ballads they can, and we're going to change music again.
They did that. Didn't they do that? What was the 80s ballads collection called? They did that.
No, I understand
Every
that.
Bad boy has his soft side? Sure. What do they call that thing?
But I want the 2019 power ballad version. Is that too much to ask?
You want all new ones?
Oh, all new ones.
People
dude.
Don't even use guitars in music anymore. Now you want ballads?
I want
Good
all
luck
new
with that,
ones.
Dude.
Howdy, you think this year over
you
the
want
next
more
six
than
months,
words by Extreme?
Retire from this job. Put together 10 of the greatest power
we'll
ballads
make, I'll
ever.
I'll make some power ballads for you.
And we will market it and we will get it done.
What was the name of that thing? Because it was Monsters of Rock, right? And then they did
it's called
the,
Monster Ballads.
Monster Ballads. Thank you. What was on Monster Ballads? Do you have a list?
I do not. Oh. There's a. YouTube.
It's got to have Heaven by Warren. Sure. It's got to have probably Every Rose Has Its Thorn. Probably Home Sweet Home or Without You by Motley Crue.
Warren, Heaven, Poison, Something to Believe In.
Oh, something to believe in. Fair enough.
We got White Snake, Is This Love? Mr. Big to Be with you. Oh, what a
classic. Are you telling me right now?
I saw Mr. Big. They opened for Rush. They were pretty good.
Much like our polls, like the first 100 votes give you a pretty clear indicator.
Have anything by Trickster on there or Firehouse? No.
Yeah, so if we just Firehouse. Into your eyes,
there
Scorpions.
Last out. Yeah. I know we want to get deep here. Okay, so I'm starting to surface before we get deep. But if we took 100 people right now, a slice of 100 of our listeners right now, and said, what do you think, man? Are you into these power ballads? What do you think the number is? The number's got to be like 90, right?
I don't think so.
85?
I don't think it is.
No?
No, I don't think so. Gypsy Road by Cinderella, Text Machine. No, that is not a power ballad. No, Cinderella
Howdy,
has some power ballads.
Stream more than
that.
Words? Okay, yeah.
That's not really there's no power to that
just
one.
The ballad.
Just
show
the ballad.
Show of hands. There are five of
Same
us
with
right
to
here.
Be with you, by the way. Neither one has any electric guitar in them.
Raise your hands if you're a fan of power ballads. Raise your hands.
I am.
Well, I am, except now that Mike is like being like very, there's lots of conditions.
Five for five.
I'm a fan of all of them.
Mike has conditions on things. This is not a new thing. There's going to be conditions on whatever we put out.
Yeah,
here's normal parameters. Now Mike has narrowed them.
This is the album that he told me to look up,
is,
and now
yeah.
he's like ruling them all
oh,
out.
Oh, somebody's
not
mentioning Saigon Kick. Love Is On The Way is a great power ballad.
Really?
Thank you for bringing up Saigon Kick. You
so
don't
you can
see
find that,
that
a little later.
I think that's Saigon Kick. Maybe it's Hanoi Rocks.
Can you find that, Lydia? You
I'll
got
admit,
that, right?
I would confuse Saigon Kick and Hanoi Rocks. I'm not sure why, but I would for whatever reason. All right. Brock, you want to go deeper for a few minutes? We've got three topics, and we're going to try to go a little dig deeper into them. And the first comes from our guy, Tom Wassel, who I was listening to yesterday with the Groz. And they're talking about the interception near the end of the Philadelphia-New Orleans game. Oh. Second pick of the day for Marshawn Lattimore. But really, the person who's going to just sort of wear this one is Alshon Jeffrey because the ball went right through his hands. And Wassel said,
my thought on Jeffrey was, and I almost never say this about athletes, I felt bad for him.
Yeah,
I really did. He's a warrior on a team full of warriors.
Yep.
Is what, and they played great.
Yep.
They played great.
On the road in New Orleans, a place where they'd lost by 6 touchdowns a month earlier.
When do we feel bad for athletes?
By the way.
Well, the Wassels.
Tom never feels bad because they're big and they're rich.
Right.
Right? They got those two things.
That's
so
what
why
he said.
Would I ever feel bad for anybody?
Big and rich must be his least favorite band.
It probably is for a variety of reasons, but yes. When you feel bad for pro athletes?
Not that often.
Not that often, right?
No.
Because generally, when it's an athlete on your team who is screwed up, you don't feel bad for them. You're super mad at them.
Right.
And if it's on the team that, you know, if you don't care that much about the game, I guess maybe then, or...
I mean, ultimately...
I feel bad for them when they're unfairly maligned.
I would hope we all feel bad when there's a devastating injury. Well, all right, yes. So we're taking that out of it. It's more the performance. Yes. So it's not like an injury or anything like that, or careers that get in.
When they
this is just about performance.
When they are unfairly maligned. When everyone thinks something was their fault that wasn't actually their fault. Mm. That is probably the biggest time I think I feel bad for an athlete. And so, you know, the Cody Parkey situation is one, right? This guy's getting killed in Chicago for missing a kick, and then it comes out the ball was blocked. But by the time anybody hears about that, he's already sort of the GOAT. He's already the person who is responsible for Chicago losing. So he would be probably the number one guy on my list.
How about kickers?
Well, he's a kicker.
Well, how about this kicker? Did you feel bad for him?
Maybe you need to practice.
I don't feel bad for Blair Walsh, no. Because I watched him here, and he was god-awful. Why Blair probably cost the Seahawks a trip to the playoffs.
Why were these some of my favorite pieces of sound ever?
I feel sad for you because you missed the field goal, but I hope you win next time.
No, he cost the Seahawks two games.
In fact, he was arguably worse after that.
He was much worse.
Yes, he got worse. Did you feel bad for Matt Hasselbeck?
Seattle has won the toss.
We won the ball, we're
going to
score.
Oh,
boy.
That was over the PA system here at Lambeau Field saying we want the ball and we're going to score. The pass is picked off. Intercepted. Back the other way. The Green Bay Packers advance. Many of the headlines will talk about what he said at the coin flip.
Thanks, Joe. No kidding.
You think? Was that Chris Collinsworth, too?
Yeah.
Joe Buck and Collinsworth back in the day.
Yep.
How about that power ballad? Those dudes were strong. Did I feel bad for Matt? No, I was frustrated. Ultimately, the barrage of just in the onslaught of he was having fun with Brett. He didn't know it was mic'd up. You know, he backed up Brett Favre, and he's out there. Ryan Longwell are out there. I mean, some of his dear friends. So he's just messing around with him on the playground. All of a sudden, that becomes the huge headline and the huge story. So I felt kind of bad.
We generally feel bad for physical mistakes or for neutral parties.
John Vandeveld, did he feel bad when he had a 9? He had a major in his hand.
Not really.
He went and played that hole with his putter.
No.
And he got better than the score. He would have won, and he played like with his wedge and putter.
No.
Is he walking?
I don't know. I mean, I guess a little bit. I guess for everything that happened to him afterwards, right? He sort of was depressed and stuff.
Yeah.
I generally don't feel that bad, and I never feel bad for mental. Like when you've made a mental mistake.
Chris Webber, did he feel bad when he called a timeout? When he's running down the court in the final championship game and he doesn't know how many timeouts and the bench doesn't help him. And did he feel bad?
Was he unfairly maligned in that
moment?
For that?
I think I felt bad for him as a college kid at that moment.
Maybe.
Right? And that's how, unfortunately, it's going to end and fall short for you. So, I think that would probably be the one that pushes me on that end of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Is that you just, you know, you give all your effort and all your energy. And unfortunately, you know, in that moment, whether it was a mental mistake or what have you,
you feel bad for Scott Norwood for missing? Like, I don't feel bad for him. He missed.
I did feel bad for him.
For Scott Norwood?
Yeah, he had the single bar. It was the whole look.
I don't feel bad for those guys.
The whole look contributed to that.
If he had a fuller face mask, you wouldn't have any sorrow for him.
If he'd been wearing Lawrence Taylor's face mask in that game, then you're fine.
If he didn't
fine.
Look like Gazoo or whatever, that character, you know, and just, yeah.
All right.
Now, sometimes maybe kickers are back. Yeah, I don't. Lydia, do you find yourself, or Howdy, do you guys feel? C-Raj, similarly, do you guys feel?
Did you just ask Lydia if she feels bad for pro athletes?
Lydia, do you feel bad when bad things happen to other people? I personally do not.
You do not at all, Howdy?
I don't feel bad at all.
Never.
When bad things happen to guys on the field, outside of injuries, I don't feel bad for
when
them.
When Alshon Jeffrey was laying on the ground right there, right? After that ball went through his hands, and it turns out he's playing with cracked ribs, that he didn't complain about, and I love that. He didn't make any excuses. He owned every bit of it. Is he's laying face down on the turf, right? And Cameron Jordan walks over to him, and Cameron didn't taunt him. I think even in that moment, he's like, this dude's just broken right now because he's playing for it. I mean, he's given his all. They're going to go in and score. They're the number 6 seed going into number 1, as Gross said, after being blown out by 6 touchdowns. And they're driving to win the game, and the ball goes right through his hands.
Yeah.
And he collapses and falls.
I would only feel bad when he's unfairly maligned. So if he's playing through an injury that nobody knows about, well, then I guess I feel bad. But now we know about it, so I don't really feel that bad anymore.
Wait, how can you possibly ever feel bad for someone
exactly.
then?
Exactly.
if he's playing through an injury now that no one will ever know about, then I feel bad for him.
Exactly.
But in that case, I will never know about it, so I will never actually feel bad.
It's a perfect situation. How do you never have to feel bad for these guys?
Even my Haley.
I'm here for Wassel, really.
I remember my Haley. We played in a tournament, in a championship game in the AAU. I think she was like in seventh grade. And she was our little three-point shooter back. They were down two. It was a really good game, down to the wire, and she had a shot to win it. Right, and she missed it at the buzzer, like in the championship game. And she was just really upset. Or Titus last year in Little League.
Mm-hmm.
He was the last guy standing. Runner at second, base hit, ties the game, puts it to extra innings in a win-or-go-home tournament. You know, in those moments right there. And both of them missed, and it didn't go their way. I don't think I felt bad. I loved hugging them when they're crying and sobbing. No, I was there. I was there for them. I want to be their support. I want to have empathy for them. I want to love on them. It is the game.
Right.
And that's what I said to Haley. Like,
yeah, but it's when your reputation is ruined that maybe you start to feel bad.
Oh, Titus's was at the end of
it. Well, I mean,
I feel bad
ruined.
For children when they do bad things in sports.
But do you feel bad
or you
just empathy? Like, this is what competition is. You're going to
lose. And there are certain kids that don't want to be out there at all when they're young, and I feel bad that their parents have made them go out and play sports.
Oh, that's
tough. That's the group I feel worst for.
95% of children are not going to advance beyond the stage they're in right now in athletics. To not have compassion for those children is like cruel.
Some other texters here. Wonder...
You'd be surprised, Howdy. Some of the dads I've seen and moms, like it is crazy.
How about guys like Dan Marino, Jim Kelly, or Barry Sanders? Who do you feel bad that the team was never put around them to win? I don't feel bad for Jim Kelly.
Dan Marino played in the Super Bowl.
That's
Jim played in four.
Do you feel bad for Barry Sanders?
Mildly.
But you know what? He could have left Detroit.
Yep.
He could have gone somewhere else if that was the most important thing to him. He was loyal, which is to be commended. But I don't know that I feel bad for him. Someone wondering whether or not you feel bad for Peyton Manning because he should have gone silent.
Should have started with silent.
Right.
I do feel bad. About telling you that. You know, starting off silent while they're all hyped up.
Yeah, they're all hyped up. So I guess I feel bad for Peyton. He's the one NFL athlete, the one pro athlete I feel bad for. Just Peyton Manning.
Great.
All right. That's going deeper on feeling bad for athletes. Let's go a little deeper on this as
well. Did we resolve anything right there?
No.
Okay. All right. Did the text toy? Was there any good stuff?
Yeah, the text toy felt bad for Peyton Manning for not going silent.
Great.
Just really sad for him. Mostly the text toy at the moment is just consumed with sending in ballads.
Good.
November Rain, Silent Lucidity, Home Sweet Home, I Remember You, Love Bites,
What was the
love
one by
song.
Scorpions?
The Scorpions have
Wind of Change.
Oh, love Wind of Change.
I saw the Scorpions. They didn't play Wind of Change. My buddy Dave was devastated. The only reason he went to the show with us, all he wanted to do was see her Wind of Change. They did play Tease Me, Please Me, though, so that was fine. All right, second question, Brock. If Kyler Murray was your best friend, what would you tell him to do?
Go maximize all of your potential right now, which is what you want to do. Ultimately, what do you love doing, Kyler? What do you love doing? Don't think about 10 years from now. Who knows what happens 10 years from now? What does your heart desire right now? And go after it and go a million miles after it. And right now, you're the Heisman Trophy winner. Right now, in this day and age where brand matters, where shoe deals matter, where commercials matter, and everything is in front of you there, make sure, number one, this is what you love to do. When you wake up, what do you want to go train? Do you want to get in the cage? Right? Do you want to go field ground balls? Or do you want to go throw? And do you want to lift and run and be a football player? And do you want to break the barrier in the NFL? Because you will, again, at your height. And, you know, Russell's did it, and Baker and Drew are 6 foot plus. But do you want to go into this league and say, yeah, you really can be 5'8 and a half and play the game my way and my style and my scheme to go make that happen? And do you want to attack that with everything? And if those answers are yes, man, then you make the decision he made yesterday, which is probably going to have to give back $4.5 million in that signing bonus and some of those shoes or what have you. And go after it and take some risk in this NFL draft and see if you ratchet up the draft board like your buddy Baker Mayfield.
Which is the bigger risk for him, though? Isn't the bigger risk playing baseball? I mean, if he plays football, he's going to be a tough first-round pick, almost guaranteed. He's a quarterback in a terrible quarterback draft, and we saw what Baker Mayfield did. He's likely, I bet you when it's all said and done, he goes middle of the first round. That'd be my guess. And on the other end, where he'll play right away. That's the way the work works now in the NFL. You don't have to wait. I mean, even Lamar Jackson's out there playing. I mean, you're going to play within the first year. If he goes to play baseball, it's a good 2 years of riding around in buses, right?
I don't know, for every college kid, one is developed as he is mature-wise, and I don't know if it's, is that, two. That certainly was.
It doesn't have to be 3 to 5, but it's going to be a year or two of,
Mike
Zaninos, driving around.
The Dustin Ackleys, those top 10 picks of college, of higher level college guys, is it still that long of a run in the minors?
It's going to be a little bit of a run. I mean, he was asked to judge him as an MLB player, and he said there's not a lot to work with. His experience is limited. He'd play a little in the Cape Cod League, a little in college, but really, when you look at what other people of his age have in their resume, it's not that much.
Interesting. Or the Oakland A's are so cheap, right, in the way they go about it, and would they fast track him? Because here's a top 10
pick. Well, and that's
a
big thing, though, is, hey, you know, if you're giving him advice, you're not just advising him between baseball and football. You're advising him between football and the Oakland A's organization, where you are likely to either kind of go through hell with their lousy facilities and cheap ownership, et cetera, or get traded, and then who knows where you are.
What is the bigger risk?
I think the bigger risk is playing baseball.
I kind of do, too, because hitting a doggone curveball at the major league level is a pretty tough thing, man. You could ask a lot of great athletes who didn't get to that point and you know, could do anything and run around. His quickness would be unbelievable on a baseball field. And his arm is off the charts. But, man, you got to produce and hit. You got to hit 95 to 98 today in this day and age, man. Like, and if you don't do it, you're not just going to stick around. Whereas if you are a first-round quarterback, even if you're the 30th quarterback, I think it was a $5 million guarantee for Lamar Jackson at the end of the first round last year, and you go even higher in that, not only the football money in your contract, but the endorsements. Johnny Manziel, look how much money he made, and he could hardly play in this league. So if you get drafted in that first round and the deals that come alongside in your brand, and are you the next Bo Jackson?
Right. Are you the next Deion Sanders? In fact, the actual Deion Sanders weighed in and said this.
If I was in his shoes, I'm picking up the baseball bat, and I'm not looking back.
Why?
Because that's just for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I sometimes I still have regret that I didn't give it more. But, you know, I got a gold jacket in the closet. I'm straight. You know, but I wish I would have given it more. But for Kyler, that's tough at his position, and I don't think he realized the ridicule that you go through once you declare and say, I'm going to be a football player. Now people start talking about your height, your size, what you can't do. He hadn't dealt with that yet.
Yeah.
I think he could do whatever he wants to do. He's that kind of athlete.
No, I would say Deion's right. No one ever ridicules baseball players or talks about what they can't do. Baseball is a very canned sport. The stats community in baseball definitely won't be out there crushing everything he can't do.
Right.
Yeah, Deion, I'd say you're all over that one.
Yeah. But he's I think, speaking more to the hype of the last 6 months, where he's been crowned everything and the greatest, and he's the Heisman.
Why should he play baseball? Because I wish I'd played more of it.
Right.
Okay. Good reasoning, Deion. Okay. Russell Wilson had some advice also.
Ultimately, where do you see yourself? You know, when it's all said and done, you know, what impact did you make and where did you make it? And I think that he's going to be able to make impact everywhere. I think that he's going to be special no matter what he does. And and he's a great, great football player.
Ooh, that was like on with Dan Patrick.
I like his other cut here as well. Talking about
the good thing about baseball, you don't get hit as much. The good thing about football, that you have the ball in your hands at every play. And so there's a balance of everything. And if you can find that balance of those two, where you can be special and no matter what happens, I think you'll make the right decision.
Stepping back just a little bit too, I think there's two other things, just objectively, I would point to. And C. Raj talked about this last night as I was listening to his show. Does a great job, 7-9, here on this station. And just talking about how Manny Machado and Bryce Harper, your two stars, are not getting paid right now. And you look at the last couple years, and some of your big players have had to sit there. And
right now. I mean, when it's all said and done,
that could change.
They're going to get paid.
They're going to get paid.
They're going to get more than $200 million apiece.
You think so?
Yes.
You want to bet another lunch on that?
200? Yes, they're definitely going to get 200.
I'll bet you 4 lunches on that.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to get 200.
No,
I'm on Salk. I'm on Salk's action.
Absolutely.
Salk.
They're going to both get over $200 million
bucks
when this is all said and done.
Of course.
Going to play out.
They want $300 million. They're going to get $200 million. I mean, they're definitely.
Machado's got 250 over eight on the table right now.
They're getting two. That's not a. I mean, this is about leverage, bro.
But this is
the market may not be what they hoped it was going to be,
yes.
$250 to $350 million on 10-year deals, but they're not going to get less than 20 a year for 10.
But if you're looking at just the state of baseball right now, what we've talked about with ratings, with attendance, with contract, with all of these things, if you're objectively making this decision versus that other one that is flush with a larger cap and a bigger cap and growing and guys get paid, and by the way, you got to make it in baseball.
Right.
Okay, everyone's all the guaranteed money. No. You got to make it.
Not until later.
Yes, you got to play 3 years. at least at a pretty high level before you become arbitration eligible, where you start making a little bit of cash.
Yeah.
Where, versus football, man, you play 3 years. A, you're going to make, if he's a first round pick, I don't know, 15 to 20 million bucks in those first 3 years.
Yeah, he's going to make. I think football is the right decision.
And you
for
don't.
Him,
and,
it's a. It's still a bummer that baseball will lose a potential.
And
talent.
One last little side note. You don't get hit, Russell, a quarterback, like you used to get hit. 20 years ago, when Deion was playing, go play baseball.
Deion got hit a lot, from what I remember.
Yeah, he ducked a lot of hits. But those QBs in that era, they got hit, Deion.
Yeah.
QBs today, they don't get hit.
Yeah, a little different. That's,
it is a bit of a different game and evolving even more in that
way. All right, we had a third topic here. We don't have enough time to go through the whole thing. So instead, Brock, I will ask you about this. What'd you make of the 1,000 hamburgers yesterday at the White House? So Trump has President Trump welcomed Clemson's football team to the White House for their visit. With the government shut down, they didn't want to do a whole catered meal like they normally would. So instead, he sprung for fast food for everybody, the entire team. And even said afterwards he was amazed by how much that group could eat. How would you like, is that a good thing or a bad thing to have been the crown national champion, go to the White House, and then get all-you-can-eat fast food? I think it's a great thing.
Were there nuggets there? I don't know if I saw the chicken
nuggets.
You
think nuggets. He only went burgers? No chicken?
I saw hamburgers, saw quarter pounders. I don't know. I'm just curious. I was looking
I
at
mostly saw
pictures.
Hamburgers, too, but I don't know. Yeah. I didn't look too deeply at the picture.
One of the funniest things to watch was them trying to use tongs to pick up things like pizza slices and
so
hamburgers.
I love it.
For the White House, I got to use the utensils.
Well, because, I mean, those utensils are nice, right? Like, it's like, oh, here's Eleanor Roosevelt's serving spoon or something. Like, instead, you're using it to eat a Big Mac. I think it's great. I hope they ordered the whole McDonald's menu. I hope
Big
they...
Big Mac, McDLT,
there you
and
go.
Quarter Pounder with some cheese filet, a fish, a hamburger, a cheeseburger, a Happy Meal, McNuggets, tasty golden french fries, regular or larger size, a salad, chef or garden, or a chicken salad, oriental, Big Big Breakfast, egg, McMuffin, hot hotcakes and sausage, maybe biscuits, bacon, egg and cheese, or sausage, Denny's, hash browns, two and four dessert, hot apple pies and sundaes, three varieties, a sausage, corn, three kinds of shakes, and chocolate, chip cookies, and a drink, a Coca-Cola, diet Coke, an orange drink, a Sprite, and coffee, decaf, two, a low-fat milk, also an orange juice. I love McDonald's, good time, great taste, and I get this all at one place.
You think Trevor Lawrence could do that?
No.
I don't right, either. Right and they now. Say this kid's talented and should go right to the NFL draft, but if he can't recite that commercial by heart, I don't know how impressive he really is.
How far can you get on
that? Not
that sucker.
Far. I mean, that thing's long.
Give me a little bit. Give me a little taste.
No.
No, I got to pump your ego up here. Nine, we're going to get
I mean, I could still
crushed.
Do two all-beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, but that's right. Simple. I mean, that's just the ingredients of the Big Mac, which never changes, nor should it.
I thought it was a good move. Got talked about, and I think those dudes loved it. I think they put it down, as the president said.
I think it's great. I think that's funny and entertaining, and I'm not talking about the political side of any of the shutdown or anything like that, but I did think that that was a clever idea.
What are you
idea.
Going after right there? You going after the quarter pounder, the Big Mac?
If
burger,
I'm in that spot,
right?
I'm starting with the Big Mac. That's just my favorite.
I think so, too.
Like, if it's been catered from McDonald's.
When was the last time you had a Big Mac?
It wasn't not been that long.
Oh, really? You treated yourself for
Yeah,
really?
When I went with the kids, where did we go? Oh, we went up to Blaine, maybe 2 months ago.
Okay.
I treated myself to a Big Mac.
And?
Avery tried Coke for the first time, too. She really, really enjoyed it and has not stopped talking about it ever since.
It's
not the Adam Gase version.
Huh?
No, Coca-Cola. No.
Oh.
I'm forever yours.
Back to power balance, huh?
Y'all are so lucky, I can't say.
It's kind of like your playoff music. It's kind of like the Oscars.
Please believe. If I could
sing.
Oh, we
have to go to break soon. Power ballad.
So Monster Ballads has Winds of Change on it?
Pretty sure, yeah.
It's an odd choice. I mean, if I were thinking about, like, most power ballads are about love. I'm surprised they wouldn't go with, what's the other, there's another big Scorpions power ballad.
Mm. You know what? Maybe you should put together Mike Salk's power ballad.
It'd be so
and then
long.
We would know.
Can we do this tomorrow?
Oh, I would
yeah,
put, you want
it.
A full
let's put
list
Lydia
of my...
Cruz's power ballad, your top 10 okay. versus Salk.
I only get 10?
Yes. And we go at it tomorrow.
Let's go. Head to
toe.
Head.
Head to head. Can you do it? You
10?
Up for it? Yeah. Your top 10 power ballads
in
Lydia's.
Order.
And then we will let the text toy and the callers vote on it tomorrow.
Are we putting them in order?
Arguably the greatest show we'll ever have.
Counting down from 10 to 1?
And Mike Hopkins is going to join us right in the middle of it at 8:30 tomorrow.
He'll love that.
It's his era.
Why wouldn't
I guarantee it.
Still Loving You is the big Scorpions
power. We got to go. Let's go.
I'm still loving you. All right. Do we have to run? Can we just sit here and listen to this?
I could.
All right. We're just going to sit here and listen to this.
I'm forever yours.
is Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Salk.
Who's this, Brock?
No idea, but I'm thinking, just for giggles, I'm not going to compete with you two. But for giggles, I should have my ballot list tomorrow.
This is definitely Firehouse.
I think that's what makes Winds of Change so powerful. It wasn't just about love and romance. Right? I think that's why it just...
Are you sure that didn't have more to do with the end of the Cold War than Rocky IV? I mean, you always give Rocky IV credit.
I put both of them...
Why won't you give credit to Klaus Meine and the Scorps?
Hand in hand. I think they worked hand in hand to go get that thing.
Why do you refuse to give the Scorps any credit for what went down at the end of the Cold War? You've always credited Rocky IV and never given anything to the Scorps.
Is Sweet Child of Mine, is that a ballad? Not
necessarily. Yeah, it is. It is. I don't know. I think Don't Cry and November Rain.
They did the Knock, Knock, Knocking on Heaven's Door, too.
Yeah,
right?
I wouldn't call that a ballad. That's a slow song, but I don't know that I would call it a ballad.
Great.
There's a Estranged I might call a ballad. That's a great one. Anyway, this hour is brought to you by Precor Home Fitness and apparently by heavy metal songs from the 1980s and early 1990s. Let's talk for a few minutes, Brock, where we started this show, and that was essentially this debate that is continuing to consume Seahawks fans. And I think there's a loud minority. I think that there is a somewhat quieter majority. And every time you ask people about it in mass, I think a lot more of the majority starts to come out that says, yeah, what do I want this team to do? Fix the defense. What went wrong this year? The defense wasn't great the way it once was. And you can look at what's happened in these final four teams where they're, 1, 2, 3, and 5 in terms of offense. Clearly, offense has played into the final four teams in the league this year. But at the same time, if you want to compete with them, I don't think most people in Seattle want the Seahawks to focus on their offense.
Correct.
They want them to focus on the defense.
Yeah, I think as we've gotten away from this just a little bit, and what are we, 7, 8, 9, 10 days removed or so from that Saturday night loss in Dallas where the emotions were hot and running hot in the Twitter world, certainly, and everywhere else. I think 10 days removed, I think what I land on is this word adaptation. To adapt. Is Pete and crew, I think, honestly, that's what I feel the most from the numbers folks as they kind of look at it and they study it. Are you willing to just be able to adapt game to game, scheme to scheme, personnel if need be at times? You know, is this crew going to be able to adapt? And thus is the great debate on any football team and program worth their salt that I've ever been a part of. Whether I travel it collegiately or I look back in my years in high school and college and pro ball, and you just do. You want something to hang your hat on, man. This is who we are. This is what we are. You want that. Yet, you know, this ability to, and it's, I mean, how can you possibly not look at the run that these Patriots have been on, playing in their 8th straight AFC title? And they are the epitome of adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
They just never give you the same thing. I'll tell you a quick little story. You know, maybe we'll do a story time, a minute a day, right? A quick little story that I think I've shared with you before. But honestly, as I sit in this room, if you're watching on in the studio, and we've got all this lettering on our walls here, right? All these cool murals, all the teams, everybody that we're partnered with, and lots of names of the present and past. This is what the room looked like when I walked in on Tuesday night, because Peyton demanded that we're in Tuesday night, even though it was our off day. I want to be home with my wife and daughter. No, we are in Tuesday night to get the game plan early. He wanted the game plan so he'd go home and be ready when he hit the ground running Wednesday morning. And when I walked into that QB room the week of the Patriots game, I walked in and the walls looked like this room. It was nothing but whiteboards all around. And usually there's plays up there. And usually, you know, on that Tuesday night, it's the tendencies of teams and everything else. But usually it took like half the room. Or maybe a quarter of the room. Here's the Miami Dolphins took one panel of the room because all they played was quarters lock. They did nothing. On any down and distance, you knew what they were going to play. Well, here comes the New England game, and there was no tendency to be had. As much as Jim Caldwell wanted to write on every one of those walls in the room, and you try to figure out and decipher the Morse code, like where's their tendency? They don't do it.
They factor into this conversation as well, Brock, because as I try to look at the other side of this, and I very much agree with you, and I don't want to see the Seahawks make major changes to what they're doing offensively, and I do think that the answer for them is to get better defensively this offseason. the rule changes and Bill Belichick are going to be the other side of this equation. You specifically asked Pete, after they lost to the Chargers this year, how much defense has changed due to the NFL's rules.
Is it harder than ever to play defense in this league today?
Yeah. Yeah, and everything has made it that way, you know. I mean, everything has been structured to allow the offense to have the best shot. It's totally relative. You'll never hear me sour grapes or complain about that. It's just the way it is, you know. The hits, just everything about it. The protection of the quarterback, everything, you know. So that's just the way the game is. But I think so, and I think that the numbers are totally proving that. And I don't think college football could be any more of an indication of the same thing. The game has totally turned in that
direction. So if the game has changed and it's harder than ever to play defense, why fight it? And Belichick is the best example of this. The first three Patriots Super Bowl teams were not offensive juggernauts, quite the opposite.
Can I pause you for 1 second? Just pause right there. Not only is it harder than ever to play defense, and this is really where the numbers guys come in, it's easier than ever to pass the ball efficiently.
That's right. Because, what's hard to do is to defend the pass, right? We talked about this earlier. The NFL hasn't made any changes to make it easier to run.
No.
They've made it easier to pass.
Stopping the run.
They've made it harder to run. Because that you can't have the backside cut blocks and this and that, but it is hard, it is easier than ever to pass. It's the one thing that is getting easier and easier in the game of football. So why not take a page? I mean, the argument would go, why not take a page out of Belichick's book, who looked at it in his first three Super Bowls were ground and pound, and Antoine Smith and Corey Dillon,
each game,
Tom Brady would never throw the ball more than 5-10 yards downfield. A lot of wide receiver screens and using the passing game as an extension of the running game.
Scoring defense was tops,
right?
Again,
it was all about that defense. Brady was the golden boy, but for the most part, after him, all the stars on that team were defensive.
Yep.
And then after they changed the rules, following was it the 2004-05 season, Belichick said, "Cool, we're going to do this differently. I'm going to bring in Randy Moss and Wes Welker, and Tom Brady's going to throw the ball 50 times a game."
Mm-hmm.
And the Patriots have been just as successful doing that as they were before that. Now, you could also make the argument that in the last year or so, he started to scale that back, and we saw a little bit more of a power running game from the Patriots, and they drafted Sony Michel this year in the first round, and maybe they're also sort of seeing the light and trying to zag when other teams are zigging, but... Yep. That idea of adapting to the NFL rules has to at least pique your interest.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely it does. And that is, I think, where a lot of this steam comes from when you start to look at the numbers. But then again, I mean, this is where you can just spin yourself crazy. And ultimately, you want the best coach available. You want the guy that has done it the longest, that does adapt and has adapted defensively. And he's saying, great, the rest of the league is all going throwing. Six of these new eight coaches, now they want to go air raid. They want to get all these receivers on the field. Lots of these other defenses are going to get smaller and faster and put quicker linebackers and play nickel and play dime. Play seven DBs, which we saw teams do this playoffs. Then you know what's advantageous? A 360-pound row grader. Right, and then your ability to actually run against smaller bodies, which we see and I see in college football all the time.
Yeah.
This wonderful tug of war of scheme in college football, right, that does go back and forth. And then ultimately a team like Clemson that can throw it and run it
successfully. But why were Clemson and Alabama the two best teams in the league? Was it because of their offense?
Or was it because of
because of their defense? It was because of their defensive line. It was because those guys are freak shows in the front of both of their defensive lines. And that's why they were the two best teams in football this year, and nobody else was close to them.
And it's why it's a great debate, and why I think anytime you're on any side of it saying this is the absolute, Cameron, our caller last week, and I challenged him on that. He's like, it's proven. It's proven this is the best way to do it. Like,
is it?
Really? Is it proven the short passing game is the most efficient? Okay, well, the season it certainly was, and it was very successful for him. But how about in a year you were supposed to win six games, you won 10? Why? Because you protected the football at a historic rate, and you ran it better than anybody else, and you kept yourself in every single game with a game-changing quarterback. Like, there's no, and I'm not saying that's the absolute only either. There's a fine line, and these guys, man, they walk it, and they certainly study it all offseason long.
We'll talk to Steve Rabel about this coming up in a half hour. We'll embarrass ourselves in just 20 minutes right after the news next. I'm Rockin' Salk.
Good news. Yes! Bad news. No news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Brock and I will embarrass ourselves in 15 minutes. You will be witness. Enjoy that.
Why do you feel that way? Is that the kind of self-talk we want to have going into a battle with C-Raj? It's 2-on-1. Mm-hmm. We're playing hoops against him.
I'm trying to lower the expectations.
Oh, okay.
Hopefully we can
do
jump
the Brady
over that
thing.
Bar.
Yeah, nobody believes we can win. Yep. We're the underdog.
That's right.
I mean, everyone thinks we stink.
We're huge. Yeah, How many points are we getting against him? Like six?
We should have, I mean, if it's 10 questions in trivia, we should have, we should get a three-question head start, maybe four. Yeah. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Heisman Trophy winner Kyler Murray has officially declared for the NFL draft.
Good news for Kyler. That's what he wanted to pursue. It is interesting. I didn't share this earlier. I had an Oklahoma at TCU game this year. And we got to the stadium and by the trucks, and I was walking in, and there was a fella wearing an Oklahoma jersey, a nice guy, and he kind of waved at me and walked over, and he had a cane. He was walking, you know, needing some help walking, and it was Kyler Murray's dad, who himself was a really good quarterback back in the day, and I think the game beat him up a little bit physically. You know, and as Kyler's making this decision over the short term and over the long term, I think ultimately he pursued what his heart desires, and that's to see if he can take this NFL thing that nobody saw coming and take it way up into the first round.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously news, but I'm not sure I ultimately cared that much which direction he went. I would have enjoyed watching him if he went to play football, and I would have enjoyed watching him play baseball. I'll enjoy watching him play football. He's a talented kid. I think he did the right thing for him, both monetarily and in terms of where his heart was. So if that's the case, great. As I said before, I don't want baseball to now step in and help the A's. You did everything you could to try to allow them to keep their guy, but don't give them any comp pick or anything for this. They knew the risk when they drafted this kid, and I don't want to see them rewarded by Major League Baseball for taking that risk and losing.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Eastern Washington senior quarterback Gage Gubrud has entered the transfer portal and is reportedly considering the Cougs.
He's entered the portal, huh?
Yeah, it spins you around. It's crazy.
Is it like the telephone booth from Bill and Ted?
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where you just find it in a wardrobe somewhere?
I'm imagining at the Piala Fair, the ride that you like go up against the wall and it spins around real fast. And, like,
Orbitron.
There you go.
Oh, like the Rounder.
Yeah, that's what I'm
I won't get into that thing.
Centrifugal force.
Jalen Hurts is in there still. Like, and then when you finally get out, you get to your program and your team and you just get sent right there.
Do you think that like when you end up transferring, do you have to use those same rules that you do when you commit? Like, do you end up
faxing?
Do you end up having to fax? Oh, I'm here in the portal. I'm in the transfer portal. That's the sound it makes.
I think that's pretty good news for the Cougs. You should be attractive after a season. And then I'm sure there's many thinking, I can do what Gardner Minshew did. He didn't have great success at East Carolina. This kid did, man. This kid lit it up at Eastern Washington. There's going to be some carryover and scheme and system. I'm sure some things to learn. But, yeah, I think that's good news for the Cougs.
Good news, bad news, no news.
An Arctic blast is expected to hit Kansas City, which will make for some very interesting temperatures come kickoff time. Expected what? What did we hear? The latest?
In the teens, maybe.
Oh, even lower than that.
Lower than that. Could be a high of six.
Yeah.
I would say if you are a Kansas City Chiefs fan, bad news. If you were rooting for the Patriots, good news. Freezing cold weather will benefit Tom Brady.
I think so. And it just will, you asked Clayton earlier, from his experience of being around, what does it do? I think it just slows the game down. Your body just doesn't function as well when you're playing in negative wind chill weather. You just can't. Tyreek Hill. You know, it's a team built for speed and spacing and everything else. Now, you know, this will just add to the lore of, I think, the MVP, Mahomes. If he goes in and he outslings Tom Brady in those weather and conditions, that would be amazing.
Sure.
So, good news, bad news, no news. I think good news. I think it's awesome. It'd be the coldest game in the history of that stadium and add yet another storyline to one that's rich with them.
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Who are coming to T-Mobile Park on October 19th.
I think that's perfectly fine news, but I will say, I heard this story yesterday. There's somebody who was working in this building on the news side at the editor desk.
Okay.
And when it flashed across their wire, whatever it is that goes on in the newsroom over there, she turned to the people around her and said, why do I keep saying, who's the Who?
Oh.
So, like, I know we're getting old, and obviously this power ballad thing is a hearkening back to an older day. But you know who the Who is? That feels
they
like
played the Super Bowl, like, a couple of years ago.
It feels like a band you should know who they are.
They sounded kind of tired at the Super Bowl a few years ago.
Yeah, Roger, the problem is Daughtry just can't sing anymore.
I mean, they're 80, right? Then we look at their ages?
Roger can't sing. It's not his fault. It's just he's old, and it's unfair to him. I remember when they did, was it that post-Sandy, the post-Sandy show that they did? 10-10-10, I think it was. So that was, 9 years ago?
Right.
And, yeah, I mean, they were
They just can't hang it up, man. They don't know when to say no. But good for T-Mobile Park, man. They'll rock it out. They'll pack it out, I'm sure. Right?
How many Who songs can you name?
Don't worry about it.
How many Who songs can you name?
None, I don't think.
You can't name one?
No. Oh, Generation. Something about Generation, right?
Name a Who song.
Generation.
Just keep saying Generation. That'll be right.
There you go.
My Generation?
I don't know.
You got this. Like the most famous song.
Don't worry about it. Next. No.
You can't name one song by The Who?
No, I'm trying to build you up for 7 minutes from now, and you're trying to tear me down. You know this isn't my strength.
I know, but I know one song?
I can give you 52 Garth Brooks songs. I don't know.
All right.
I did not listen to The Who.
Clearly.
Who?
Good news, bad news, no news.
Clemson made their trip to the White House, but since the government shutdown is on and there are no White House chefs working, President Trump paid for, quote, American fast food to be brought in.
I thought it was good news. I thought it was necessary news. And he knew his audience. College kids, 1,000 burgers, let's go to town. And by all accounts, they did their job on that.
They crushed it.
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was great news. I really enjoyed this. What better? I mean, when I was in college, there was nothing I would have liked more than this. I went to school in Southern California, so there was just constant fast food. By the way, that kind of got left out yesterday. When we were having our poll on the region or city of the final four remaining NFL cities with the best food. Look, we talked about L.A. because of its fine dining and its Mexican food. But L.A. is the home of fast food in this country.
Yep.
In-N-Out.
Sure.
Carl's Jr., Jack in the Box. I mean,
is that a good
Fat Burger?
Is that a claim to fame?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's part of L.A.'s cuisine. Going to Fat Burger when you're in L.A.
Could you imagine, Mike, being on campus there at UW and just going over to Dick's? In the deluxe and the special.
I can, but I mean, we had to choose every, like, you guys want to do In-N-Out, McDonald's, Jack in the Box, Carl's Jr., Fat Burger. I mean, there were so many options.
We had to choose too. There's a lot of options around there.
Then there were all the taco places, El Taco Nazo, Del Taco.
It was like $5 for a liter of soda and a Pizza Time.
El Pollo Loco.
California,
man. It's a different place. All right. We are going to talk to Steve Rabel coming up in about 15 minutes. Brock, who sings this?
The Who.
What's it called?
They played it at the Super Bowl.
Did they?
Yep. Yeah, and the guy's belly was sticking out of his shirt, remember, as he like jumped up in the air. I was like, dude, bro, poor dog, better than that.
It's a great song.
It is a great song.
It's called Bob O'Reilly.
Thank you. I could picture Rabel jamming at The Who.
Can you?
On his way to work, sure. I can picture that.
With the mustache or without the mustache?
We'll ask him that in 15 minutes.
All right, Rabes joins us in 15 minutes. Brock and I embarrass ourselves even more than normal next here on Brock and Salk.